Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. No life.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm doing very well, Luke. Very well indeed.
Why is that?
Because right now, I'm sitting here in my comfy joggers.
Well, I had a text message from Pete yesterday that said you had buyer's remorse and you did not like them. And I thought, well, icky, well, if it isn't the consequences of your own actions.
That's a tease for the outro. We'll get into it in the outro, but people want their AEW because it was a great show.
Do they?
I want the AEW.
Sure, they don't want to hear you chat
about my job. They want to talk about Jeff Cobb turning up in AEW when he's still working for Ring of Honor.
What about Jeff
or my
Jog?
My jogging buddies.
Jeff Jog. Anyway, shall we get into the show itself then? Because it's going to be another really short intro. Thank you very much. I don't even know what I'm doing here. Here, AEW.
First off, the cliffhanger angle that we ended on that was very smartly set up before the actual event.
Mwah! Loved how it was set up.
Yeah, so around an hour and a half into the show, there is a promo backstage with Chris Jericho. I'm trying to find it in my notes.
I've got it right here. So Jericho was called back, interviewed backstage by, I don't know what her name is. She's like their 78th interviewer they've hired. But she's been there consistently now for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And Jericho asked to be referred to as Mr. Jericho.
Mm.
And he's like, you know what? If Moxley manages to survive Santana's beatdown that he's going to get at the end of this show, I've hired a hitman to take him out next week. And this is a guy that has been destroying people around the world. He has had high-profile matches all over this globe. And I suddenly thought, oh, it's going to be Luther, isn't it?
Jericho's mate, Luther.
I had this real pang of worry it was going to be Luther.
I thought it was going to be Brody Lee. I thought, Ooh. Oh, wow, they're doing this now.
But no, it was Jeff Cobb.
Wow.
Former never open weight champion, Jeff Cobb, who's with Ring of Honor and New Japan. And all Rev Pro, it was part of our local indie for a while.
Uh-huh. He's been doing the indie circuit for, 5 years. He's been a wrestler for much longer, of course, but he's been one of the top talents out there. Yeah. It's amazing he's not been signed properly by a major. He was under contract until December, I believe, with Ring of Honor, but that expired, and he just kept on doing dates with them. The report is that AEW dealt with him directly because he is a freelancer. Yeah. He's been appearing on Ring of Honor TV as a proper independent contractor.
Yeah.
Not with an actual exclusive agreement in place. Still appears for New Japan sometimes.
He's got dates with Ring of Honor coming up, in fact. He's part of their past and present show.
It's really, really interesting stuff. And I don't know, it's really good they did it this way, because while we would have recognized Jeff Cobb, I think a lot of people in the crowd would have as well, that it was set up here. And they got a little promo package afterwards of just a few of his moves, only like 30 seconds. But just really put it over strong.
But it's what we've been saying for a while, because they've done a lot of these sort of like in-ring debuts, and a lot of them are really, you could argue, with the exception of Moxley, they all went down like lead balloons.
Yeah, even Hager, it was a bit like, oh, it's Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
But and he's gotten really good since then. But, you know, in that moment, I that was the first episode, I wasn't that high.
No, but like if you'd have had promo packages for Butcher and Blade, they probably would have had a much better reception how they'd just come out and have Excalibur shout, it's the Butcher and the Blade.
Totally, totally.
So having Jericho set it up, having a little video package for him, it also made you think he's not there this week. Because he said, it's next week this is happening. And I'm like, oh my God, AEW has signed Jeff Cobb and he's going to debut next week. That's amazing. Cannot wait for next week's show. And then at the end of the show, he was there, came out with his new entrance music, he's got his Titantron, and he comes out and he lays out Moxley with the Tour of the Islands. And I'm like, oh my God, Jeff's here. Jeff Cobb is in AEW. And I said this in my review, but you've got Jeff there. You've got Hager. You've got the rumors that Brody Lee's coming in. You've got rumors that Lance Archer's coming in. You've got rumors that Chase Owens was at that this show. He was backstage. You are on the cusp of the biggest host division in any wrestling promotion. You're going to have all the beefy boys doing lots of beefy hossy stuff.
And Cobb is a beefy
boy. Oh, he's pure beef.
Oh, he's corn on the cob with a big slab of beef. He's Tour of the Islands finisher. Yeah. So like the Inner Circle came down. Moxie just managed to beat Santana.
Love that.
I loved it all.
We'll get into that now.
Yeah, but the Inner Circle come in. Moxie's blinded both eyes now because Ortiz spat alcohol and he's one good one. By the way, you can buy a Moxley eye patch from Pro Wrestling Tees.
That's merchandise selling right there.
They're not just a t-shirt company. They also do eye patches. And the Inner Circle go down there and they each have their own way of beating them up. There was Jericho lashing with the belt. Ortiz had the sock full of snooker balls or pool balls. Yeah. Hager's big finisher is, I'm going to kick you in the dick.
Oh yeah, I prefer that to the standing head and arm choke, which is one of the worst finishers.
And Sammy Guevara did like, I think it was a 450 splash, which looked great. So everyone's like beating on him. I thought, this is good. It builds, you know, standard beatdown, really. And then Cobb came out and I lost my mind. You know, I'm watching this in my pajamas, 7 a.m. this morning. Multiple times I yelped throughout this episode. So many times I popped audibly.
Yeah.
Like, whoa! And Cobb coming out here was one of them. I popped in the initial announcement. Cobb comes out, hits the Tour of the Islands, which I can watch all day long. Someone make me a GIF of that move where he keeps spinning. Yeah. I want him to spin for 5 hours and then hit the move.
It almost defies gravity.
Yeah, it's a black... It's like, I love the black hole slam as a move. And it's kind of that and more.
Yeah, because he goes one way and there's like, whoa, nope, because you're literally getting a tour. It's amazing.
It feels like the waves. I love it. And I hope we eventually see the moonsault variant that he can do.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So this was a absolutely fantastic debut for Jeff Cobb. And it's just really exciting because I'm a big, big fan of Jeff Cobb. We've been, you know, singing his praises for a long time. We used to, so our local Indie Rev Pro, he was a tag team there with Matt Riddle, the Chosen Bros. And they were a fantastic tag team. They were so good. And I've always been a fan of Jeff. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in AEW. Now, I don't know, because I don't think he's joined Inner Circle.
Yeah, that's the interesting part here.
Because Jericho didn't say we've got a new member of the Inner Circle. He just said, I've hired a hitman. I saw this more that, like when MJF hired the Butcher and Blade, like those two aren't, they are connected, but they're not a faction. That's kind of how I saw Jeff, but I guess we'll find out next week whether he is more aligned, if he is part of the Inner Circle, or if he's just on his own, he's just this hired big hossy man.
I totally agree. I don't think he's joined the Inner Circle. Initially, I didn't want him to. I think the man for hire to just beat people up is a great use of him. It's neither babyface nor heel. Mm-hmm. He's this in-between thing that just is a mercenary, essentially. But that closing visual of the Inner Circle and Cobb just in the background towering over Moxie, I thought, you know what? It's not the worst idea. It's not like they already have a Cobb. because I know they've got a swagger and he's kind of the muscle.
Hager.
Sorry, it's because I just watched Elimination Chamber 2014. He's in the chamber match.
No, he's not. He's in the opening match.
Ah, yeah. Cesaro's in the chamber match. Sorry. Go over to Patreon, become a pledge hammer. We'll be reviewing that show soon. So, Swagger's there.
Hager.
Hager's there. He is the he's the muscle, really.
Yeah.
But Cobb is a different kind of muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited. There's so many ways they can take it, and I want to see all of them.
I can't wait for Mox Carb next week.
So it wasn't just that, though. We move on to our second main talking point, and this is the landscape shift of the women's division, which, let's be honest, has failed.
Oh, yeah.
Rio as champion didn't work because she got less over because she wasn't around. She lives in Japan. She wrestles for Japanese promotions. She wasn't on TV enough.
No.
She was super, super over. Nyla Rose, she was off and on TV. They haven't really built up anyone else.
Well, they do, but they build them up for 3 weeks and then they disappear.
Statlander, Swole, Shanna, Sheeda, they've all just kind of disappeared, yeah. Britt Baker has, the last couple of weeks, been bubbling up really nicely. We'll come on to that later. But there were two very significant things that happened this week. First off is Brandi Rhodes, admitting and confirming that they're dropping the Nightmare Collective.
Yeah, she did an interview with Wrestling Observer Live.
Great interview, by the way.
A really, really good interview as well. The first, 15 minutes is her talking about her sort of public speaking arrangements, and then they move into AEW stuff. And they had a really good interview about the lashing stipulation from last week. But her talking about the Nightmare Collective was very open, and it was very clear, which was, we tried this, and it didn't work.
Mm.
And you know, Brandi said, you know, I could feel it every time I was out there. This isn't connecting and it's not working. Apparently, according to her, AEW wanted to continue doing it. They wanted to keep pushing it, but she said, no, I'm putting a stop to it now. It's not working. Let's not do it anymore.
Thank God, because it was genuinely suffocating that division. Also, she also kind of said Awesome Kong was the... It was meant to be her and Awesome Kong, but it became very apparent that Awesome Kong, Kia Stevens, can't work.
Yeah.
Like, she's just too beat up.
Yeah.
She's got too many injuries. So they started to put on more and more people to hide that, and it just diluted the idea and the faction, and there was the whole hair-cutting thing. Apparently, Brandi was never really into that. So I'm so glad...
Yeah, that was all Kia's idea.
Yeah, I'm so glad that they have made that change. So, no more Nightmare Collective, which was the main story, really, the only story, to be honest, in the women's division. And on this episode... At the start of the second hour, which I, you know, when it started, I thought, oh, I kind of wish this was the main event, because if you want to restore the women's title, but you had the Cobb stuff later on, for the optics, I think you still probably, I'm being super nitpicky, you should have put the women's division match at the end.
I agree.
But it is difficult because Cobb, that was a great angle to end on. But Nyla Rose and Rio went out there. The crowd were normal at the start, but they worked together so well and had an absolutely amazing match. The best match these two have had.
Yeah, Riho is very, very good at getting a crowd into her matches as the underdog. Mm. She is, you know, we were just talking then, she's not been on TV a lot since she's been champion. You know, she almost had like a month and a half off TV.
Yeah.
And then she had like a 1 week build for her title match at Full Gear last year, which didn't really get off the ground. And she's just sort of done nothing with the title, and it's kind of been a bit sort of forgotten about. But she's still so, so good that even when she comes out to ambivalence, polite ambivalence, as the match goes on, the crowd get into those matches and start chanting for Riho, and they want to see her overcome odds.
Well, that to me is the ultimate sign of a great worker, because the idea of a great wrestling worker is that you can put them in front of a crowd that don't know anything about them, just like how the territories used to work. You've got your local stars, but then you bring in great workers who tour around and they fulfill a role. And you get the people into the match despite a kind of cold start. Rio, of course, has got much more than a cold start here, but even when she hasn't got any story to work with, really, she worked a fantastic bout. Rose brought a lot to it as well, but
oh,
this,
yeah.
I'd say this was about 75% Rio.
Yeah. I would say so.
And there were so many nice spots. I love the... There was a table tease that never played into anything. That's out of Omega's playbook.
Yeah.
More literally out of Omega's playbook. There was the... she went for a one-winged angel.
Yeah, Nyla...
That was never going to work.
No. Well, yeah, so Nyla, sort of like, as a show of disrespect, was going to hit Riho with the one-winged angel with Kenny Omega's finisher. So Riho escapes out of that and hits a Snapdragon. What
great.
A lovely little touch that was. And then followed up with some V-triggers.
Yeah, and a Northern Lights suplex pin, which looked beautiful. And then she gets her in the corner. She does one stomp off the top rope. One count from Rose. Made Rose look awesome. Puts her in the other corner. Two stomps. But Rose got a foot on the ropes. Great near fall. And Rose just got up after that.
She just got up, hit the Beast Bomb, and got the win. It almost felt like Rose was like, I've had enough.
Yeah.
I've toyed with you for a little bit, but now it's time to actually win this belt.
And that's really remarkable, because that kind of sounds like Rose no sold stuff, but really didn't come across that way.
No.
It was really well judged.
And Riho had one of the greatest near falls I've ever seen. In terms of, not like you bought into the drama, but she kicked out so late of that two count that it was I did buy into it as the finish, because it was like the ref was millimeters from the mat before Riho kicked out. It was incredible timing.
So we've got a new champion, Nyla Rose. And we've got a new champion and sort of reshuffled women's division. And Rose walks to the back and Tony Khan is there to hug Nyla.
Yes, this is in the ad break of...
So I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, so we got this on Fight. But in the American broadcast on TNT, this was all just the shrink screen stuff. But yeah, she goes backstage. Tony Khan's there to be like, hey, you know, congratulations. You've won the belt.
Very rarely appears on camera.
Yeah.
I know it's only in the shrink screen, but I think that is significant.
And Kenny Omega was there, and Nyla was shouting, like, where's my celebration? Kind of doing the Jericho thing of, like, you know, hey, she goes, yeah, Jericho got a boat, where's my celebration? And in the background of this, you've got the women's division standing there, which is a very small division, which is unfortunately is probably the only downside.
They've all got indie bookings.
Where's the only downside to this? But you've got Britt Baker, Chris Statlander, the Bunny, the Librarian, and Big Swole standing there. And they were putting it over on commentary, like, well, that's her competition now. These are the people that are going to have to step up in order to take the title off of Nyla Rose. That's at least the building blocks for something. But it's really all now down to, you've got a new champion. It's a champion that I think people can buy into more than they could Riho. She's going to be on TV every week, you know, or TV on whenever you need her. You now need to build something around this. Make this belt feel important. Because the belt doesn't feel important at the moment. No.
I thought it was a home run. I never like dropping stuff. I know it's kind of hypocritical given some of the stuff on WrestleTalk. But
Keith Apicary.
It is a loose end. They did just drop it. I guess they did the psychotherapy bit.
Yeah, if you want to go and find it, you can do. That'd be my only criticism about it as well.
But I think it was the right move ultimately.
Yeah.
So I respect them for doing it, and I'm optimistic for the future. The only thing I'd say is, and I actually like Rose a lot, but I don't think she can cut a promo, but she shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think she should not speak.
Also, I mean, I'm going to, you know, stand up to bat for Brandy and Cody as well, just coming out and being very upfront with, you know, just saying, hey, it didn't work.
It's very refreshing.
It's very refreshing to go out there, very publicly say, we tried something, it didn't work, we're listening to the fans, we're getting rid of it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Right, so let's do the Patreon shout-outs before we get on with the super chats. If you become a pledge channel on Patreon, we'll hopefully have our Elimination Chamber 2014 review up tomorrow.
Up tomorrow, that's the plan. Elimination Chamber 2014, which features only one Elimination Chamber match, because there's only one title at the time, kids, but also has a fairly decent...
Two titles. It's just undisputed.
Well, yeah, but it's one title, let's be honest. And it had a... So undercard of Swagger versus Big E, and get this on pay-per-view, Titus O'Neil versus Darren Young, AJ Lee versus Cameron.
In a minus one star.
Which is very bad. But, crucially, the first encounter between The Shield and the Wyatt family.
Incredible stuff.
In an incredible six-man tag. And then a really, really fun chamber main event.
Very decent chamber. But thank you to our $25 a month or more pledge hammers, the British Bulldog, Philip Boy J. Smith Jr.
Yeah. The mayor of Painesville, Dan!
Yeah, Dan! Former star athlete, now head coach, Lendell Branson.
Nice. Oh. The Titan, Owen Towers.
Yeah! Shaun of the Dead Peril.
Nice.
Got red on you.
They drew first blood, not me, Grace Rambo.
Another movie reference. Harder than its bite, Sean Barksdale.
Tom Burrowing Delves.
That's not a good name. Vito Ventura, pet detective.
It only gets transphobic in this final moment. Brett the Hitman, Matthew Williams.
Woohoo! Just incredible, Edel Heat.
Nice. Yes. And lastly, new kid on the block, Ben Newcomb.
Thank you everybody for your support. There's a cheap pops. Let's see what your super chats say, of course. Have yourselves a thumbs up party as well, because I know there's 1,200 of you watching and only 218 likes. Why do we have to do this every stream, folks? Hit the thumbs up button. It's the easiest way to help us out.
Right, well, let's get into your super chat on the subject of the women's title. Mick Rionic said, Nyla versus Riho, the best women's match in AEW history.
It's up there. I would say it's the most dramatic, but emotional. I really like the Emi Sakura,
yeah,
and Rio match from Full Gear.
Yeah, All Elite DK, Jim Ross, Arn Anderson is watching TV in a weird angle. Brandy Rhodes it will really hurt his neck. Jab at WWE makes me laugh. Loved Riho versus Rose, best female match in AEW history.
There you go. Loving it.
Yeah, on the subject of Jeff Cobb, Mithril said, I've never seen Jeff Cobb before, but that finisher sold me.
That's what we want to hear, and that's, yeah, great, because he's so good.
Ryan B. Baskin His Glory, King Chopper Whopper said, when Cobb came out, he reminded me of Rhino in his prime from ECW. I popped even though I've never seen any of Cobb's matches.
He's got a similar stocky body shape.
He's got a presence about him, yeah, as well. It's funny, when someone, because I posted up on the video and I said, what a great get for AEW. Someone responded to me saying, like, oh, he looks like Rhino's mini-me. I had to Google it, but apparently they are the same height. Mm. But the funny thing is, when I read I thought he initially wrote, it looks like Riho's mini-me.
And that's tiny.
Yeah. Mammy DeBooty said, Cobb was brought in as a mercenary. He still has Ring of Honor dates. He's paid by appearance and doesn't have a contract, which we talked about earlier. He's going to be on Supercard of Honor, WrestleMania weekend, yeah.
I don't know any other big examples of AEW using non-contracted talent, essentially.
No.
They don't have an exclusive deal with
him. Just people doing paid per appearance and stuff, yeah.
He's someone who works for AEW now, Ring of Honor, New Japan. I mean, hopefully, this is a sign of things to come.
Yeah, I mean, we speculated. People took us to task for that speculation station as well when we said that Marty's re-signed with Ring of Honor and one of his big roles there is to kind of build bridges between companies, which has been incredibly successful very early doors because he's reopened that New Japan relationship, completely ironed all of that out. And now we're seeing some of this. So, you know, they've got some stuff with NWA. I don't think it was out of the realms of madness for us to speculate that.
I still believe, like, not even by the end of the year, 6 months, we'll see something.
Right, well, should we do the whole show?
Yes, which kicked off with an absolutely... Well, actually, no. It's difficult because I love this match. It was Hangman Page and Kenny Omega versus SCU for the tag team titles. Open the show. Great way to start things. And it was a really good match. Told all the good stories. But compared to recent weeks, it wasn't as good as the crazy high bar they've set.
It wasn't as good as the boat match.
Last week's four-way.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the eight-man.
Sorry, yeah, the eight.
It was the four. Yeah, the four way was the. And even that was amazing as well. But yeah, like, you're absolutely right. Like, they've set a really, really high bar. So this being very, very good is amazing. I mean, but it wasn't as good as a couple of weeks ago, though. But what I loved about this was all the story that they told in there. It's quite, you know, multiple stories being told. So you've got Dark Order. Dark Order cut a promo at the start on the screen that were just like, there may only be four of us, but we've got members that are closer than you may think. And the Exalted One will be revealing himself soon. Daniels runs to the back to kind of find them. So you've got one thread. Then you've got the SCU going for the tag titles as another thread. And then you've got the Hangman Adam Page stuff with Kenny Omega. What I loved about this is Kenny Omega starts this match with Kazarian doing the big fist bumps and stuff. And then when Kazarian whips him into the ropes, Scorpio's guy kicks him in the back. Mm. And Kenny looks at him and being like, huh, well, that's not, you know, we're friends.
Yeah.
We're all pals here. We're all having a good time. That's... It's not really how I thought we would do things. You know, I'm just sort of a bit surprised by that. Do you know who wasn't thinking that? Hangman Page, because when he tagged in, he was just like, no, I'm just going to beat the ever-loving crap out of every single person in the ring. And that was the story they were telling here, is that Kenny was being mates with these people. Page wasn't. Mm. Page was about business. Page was about defending the tag titles. And they really, like, since they've won the belts, they've made those belts feel very, very important, particularly Page.
It's really interesting because... Kenny is doing all the right babyface stuff.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Page is actually, we're talking character-wise here. I respect Page more because he's focused on the task.
Yeah.
Like, when Kenny tries to be everyone's mate when it's, you know, at the end of the day, a very competitive environment, kayfabe world, I lose a bit of respect for the guy, even though he's doing the right morally babyface things. Really, really interesting booking.
It's fascinating stuff.
Also, Page's hot tag, he can do lariats. He loves a clothesline. But he just booted Daniels. Not Daniels, Kaz.
Yeah.
I didn't know I loved your boots as well.
He kicked this man's head off his shoulders.
That was great.
Just so good. He gets it. When Page came in, he was selling his knee as well. Like, he tweaked his knee at one point. He was selling it during a fireman slam. SU get a near fall when Kaz hit the buckshot. Well, he sort of did a buckshot of his own, a lariat. Dragon sleepers on both men. Kenny bowls Kaz into the other one to break that up. And then they hit the buckshot trigger combo. But crucially here, when they set up for the buckshot V trigger combo, Kenny was being blocked.
Mm.
Sky was on the outside blocking Kenny's leg. So Kenny had to fire him off. Page wasn't being blocked. Page knew the right position to be in so that they could do the move effectively.
I love that move.
The buckshot V-trigger.
I get really excited when I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the last 5 years, I used to love moves. But the last 5 years, I've slowly just fallen out of love. And maybe it's because they just weren't showcased or presented in the right way. AEW has made me fall in love with moves again. Maybe not the Judas effect. No. Maybe not that much. But the paradigm shift. I pop big when that happens.
Yeah.
When the V-trigger buckshot lariat combo happens. When the Tour of the Islands?
Tour of the Islands.
Yeah, Tour of the Islands. I'm excited to see the moves.
Yeah, I think it's so good.
Isn't that wrestling fandom? I want to see the moves.
And then after the match was over, Paige goes and celebrates into the crowd, and Kenny sort of goes off in his own way. Dark Order come down to the ring, flanked by Reynolds and Silver, and Best Friends then run down to make the save. Butcher and Blade come down, Hybrid 2 come down, the Young Bucks run down, and this is all there so they can have a big wild brawl to set up the Battle Royal. Yeah. Another thread that they were setting up here to promote next week's show.
Yeah, really good. It's that, like, you know, pretty copy and paste visual from how you usually sell a Battle Royal, but there's nothing wrong with that.
It completely worked.
In the break, Orange Cassidy came down to block the Dark Order, and the Bucks super kicked him, and it was good. It was really nice.
I really like, so Uno and Grayson effectively bailed during all of this brawl, and Grayson was desperate to fight. He was desperate to get in there, but Uno was holding him back. I'm a big Uno fan, and I'm gutted they're not in the Battle Royal next week.
Well, they've probably got bigger things.
Yeah, because Reynolds and Silver are in their place.
Yeah, because I imagine they're, you know, the Bucks are winning, so you'd have to throw them over the top rope.
That's true, yeah.
Just one more thing. The Exalted One, it only hit me when I was watching this show. That is such a Matt Hardy bit of phrasing.
Well, did you see the...
The Exalted One.
Did you see the tweets? So when Matt left WWE, he said goodbye. Mm. And Uno tweeted, "When you say goodbye, I say hello." Hello, hello.
I can't believe some people... I've had so many people say, "Oh, but don't you think this is a way to write Matt Hardy off so he can come back with the full broken character on WWE?" Like, what? What? Did you see what happened last time? They don't care about that gimmick.
Cole literally said, "Guys, this is crap. I'm so sorry you're about to watch this, but try and enjoy it, maybe."
Next up, we had this excellent sit-down interview with Santana.
This ruled.
And I've got it. So it was filmed earlier in the day. It was JR and Santana sitting in the ring. Santana had the eye patch on because he was blinded by Moxley last week. They had the eye for an eye main event match here. And I've got to think, I reckon this segment was decided on after the strength of Santana's promo last week.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just me he blew away. From what everything I read, everyone was surprised that the man can cut such a good emotional promo.
He's a wicked promo. Yeah.
He had a shot and he took it, and he's been rewarded for it because he had another chance here, and he cut an absolute... I'm hesitant to call it a promo.
Yeah, he's just speaking.
And he said that he has been in a dark place for the last couple of months. His father passed away in December, I think it was, and he talked about when when he was younger, he used to live in this bull S-word apartment
in
the Bronx. And he called his dad, said, "I'm living in darkness." And his dad says, "That's how I live every day." Because his father started to lose his sight when he was 14. And then he went completely blind at like 25. And you've got all of this really real context informing a literal eye for an eye storyline. Oh my God.
And I love JR. As a good journalist would have done, we were like, "You're angry at Moxley, but Jericho started this. Jericho stabbed him in the eye first. If it hadn't been for that action, he wouldn't have retaliated." And Santana was just like, "No, it's Moxley. We offered him the world. We offered him the wrestling world to bow down at his feet, and he chose not to." Now, I love this line. He said, "Mox had every chance to have the wrestling world bow at his feet. He chose to build his own coffin."
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good line, mate.
And he also said, like, "Look, I made a choice to go with the Inner Circle." Yeah. Like, I'm getting ahead. And I just... This on paper is a babyface promo talking about his, you know, in quite over-the-top schmaltzy sense, really, if you look at it. He's talking about his dad who went blind when he was a kid. Like, how more babyface can you get? You've got so much natural empathy towards the guy. But he is a heel.
Yeah, totally a heel.
And it's such a wonderful shade of grey. And now... A year and a half down the line, I can't wait to see him break out and be the guy to turn on Jericho.
Maybe.
I mean,
you're right. I mean, of all the people in the group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two weeks, I feel like he's a legit mid-carder. You know, like, of course he was a main event tag teamer, but I feel like he's now a legit singles mid-carder in the mix with, like, you know, he's above Jungle Boy now in my head.
Yeah. And I've got to also give credit to JR in all of this as well. I thought JR, I've not been particularly high on JR in AEW. I think he's had a lot of rocky bumps. I thought he was really great in this segment. Mm. I thought he was really, really good.
I thought he was great all night, actually. Yeah. We'll come on to a bit later on. Then we had another Darby Allin promo. I really like this one. I thought last week's was a bit goofy, but he can't talk because the skateboard was jammed into his throat. So he's doing Sammy's gimmick with the cards, the placards, and he goes through a few in black and white. And he says, "What are you doing at Revolution, Sammy?
Hit me up." It was really, really nice. And all the while he's coughing throughout it as well. Really good. Yeah.
Like that. It felt really classic wrestling because the promos weren't just I'm standing in front of a backdrop. Like, these vignettes feel stylistically appropriate to the characters.
And Pac's one later as well.
Interestingly, both black and white. But yeah. Very different. Then we got, off the back of that, Sammy Guevara himself wrestling Dustin Rhodes in Dustin's hometown.
Yeah, one of our hometown pop he got as well.
Yeah, really cool.
Really, really good stuff. They put over that Sammy had beaten Dustin previously on the New Year's Day episode through Hager interference. Hager's out with him again. And Hager interference did lead to Sammy getting their heat for a while. Mm. But this is a very different company. The hometown boy got the big hometown win, and the crowd absolutely loved it. And then afterwards, Dustin got to cut the big hometown babyface promo, and I loved it. Oh, man. What was the line he said? Oh, he goes, "I need Jericho's bitch to turn around."
Well, he's like, turn around, and Sammy turns around.
He's like, "I'm not talking to you.
I'm talking to Jericho's bitch." And the crowd went, "Whoa." And that was like one of the times I yelled out, like, "Oh my God, it's 20 past seven in the morning.
Are you ever going to start?" And this promo meant so much because of the veteran status that Dustin has. Where it's like, are you going to step into this ring or are you just going to sit back there and collect a paycheck?
Oh. Hager hasn't done anything.
Yeah, he's like, "You failed in your MMA career. You're afraid you're going to fail here in AEW as well." Challenged him to a match at Revolution, a main event worthy of ECW in 2009, and it got confirmed later on that it's happening at the pay-per-view.
I'm so excited for Goldust versus Jack Swagger in 2020. Unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable. I thought this was great. I initially was like, "Oh, why would you want Sammy to lose off the back of that Darby Allin challenge?"
Yeah.
But I think it's justified. Dustin's in his hometown, Sammy had already beaten him, and it set up the Hager match.
Yeah.
So tick, tick, tick. And Dustin's the head promo coach at AEW.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So I think it's...
Yeah. What a good... I mean...
What a good promo.
You want a good teacher at promos.
Yeah.
Holy heckins. Yeah.
Really good stuff. Then, speaking of promos...
Yeah, got a recap of Britt Baker turning heel, and Tony is up on the ramp for his weekly interview with Britt Baker, where it's a... Baker's promos for me are a story of two halves. The one half of it is the dentist gimmick, where it doesn't get heat with the crowd, because she's just saying dentist stuff.
I don't mind it.
I don't mind it, but it's not like, "Oh, makes me want to boo you." She's just talking about... I like that she said she did to Yuka what she did last week, because she had really bad... decay in her teeth. I actually gave her free dental work, you should be cheering me for that. But then she turns on the crowd, and when she turned on the crowd, the heat that she got for it, that's real heat. Mm. And it's, so that's my story of two halves thing. The dentist stuff doesn't connect, but when she cuts hometown heel promo work, it really does connect.
Yeah. And we're 3 weeks into this, maybe four, since the Bash at the Beach heel turn? And it has gotten so good exponentially week to week.
Yeah.
She said she was getting some good heel heat at this point anyway, but then she called the crowd chubby Whataburger faces.
Yeah.
And it went nuclear.
Yeah.
It cut to the crowd and people were genuinely furious.
I can't believe they sullied the good name of Whataburger.
I mean,
I actually had some Whataburger spicy ketchup with my lunch today.
And she's just saying, "Thanks, guys."
Yeah, I know.
I thought there's something, because there will be a snowball effect, I hope, where she will get that level of heat because she's just, it's cheap heat. But I'm hoping it will become the popular crowd spot to really, really boo her.
Yeah.
Like the next week's crowd, hopefully, are going to be like, "Well, we're going to boo her more."
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're just waiting for that hometown heat line.
Yeah, completely.
Very good.
It's very good stuff.
Then we got the Nyla Rose versus Rio match, which we've covered. Then followed by the Jericho interview where he set up Jeff Cobb. Then we got MJF versus Jungle Boy, only the future of the wrestling business.
I mean,
fantastic.
Okay, so first off, Brandy's out in commentary.
Yeah.
To further the Cody storyline, she is now very much, she is Brandy Rhodes, wife of Cody. She apologized to Excalibur, so that's a nice little bit of continuity within the stories. Like, you know, it's water under the bridge. I am now a babyface. And they announced this match. They didn't announce it on last week's TV show. They announced it in the week. MJF versus Jungle Boy. Love me some Jungle Boy. I like MJF. And I thought, do you know what, actually, I think that's going to be pretty good. That is going to be solid wrestling on this show to build between, you know, to bridge between matches.
Yeah.
And it'll be nice build for the Cody-MJF match. I was not expecting it to be the best match on the show.
Oh, really?
I thought, I absolutely loved this.
I think it's so hard to choose. I think Rio versus Nyla Rose was the best match.
Yeah.
Then probably the main event. Then Dust. I love the Dustin Sammy match. But then maybe, yeah, then. But the freaking tag, they were all so
good.
It was
really good stuff, yeah.
There were some great signs out there.
I think it's, again, I was going to say, I think the reason why I'm going with it was my favourite match on the show, because I was not expecting it. Mm. Like, I see Dustin versus Sammy, I know I'm going to enjoy that. Riho versus Nyla, I know I'm going to enjoy that. SCU versus, I know I'm going to. I was not expecting to like this as much as I did. That opening sequence that they did. But yeah, talk about the signs.
Well, I think it's because MJF, I've not seen that side of him.
No.
This is my own ignorance because I haven't seen enough of him. Sometimes I do look at MJF like a more charismatic Miz.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen the in-ring work style. I've seen him do the really good classic heel delay tactics, and that works really well, but nothing really good technically wise. But this, yeah, that opening sequence when he's doing kip-ups and they're doing a nice little chain wrestling sequence, I was like, oh my God, I love him even more.
When Jungle Boy kipped up and you had MJF sort of looking down the hard cam being like, yeah, I got him, and Jungle Boy kips up and is standing behind him. I'm a Jungle Boy mark. I really am. Like, I legit get excited when Jurassic Express's music hits. Jungle Boy is, and like the commentary were doing such an amazing job on this at saying, like, look, Jungle Boy's 22, MJF is 23. This is the future right here. Like, we are building younger stars. We are establishing this younger crop of talent that in 10 years' time are going to be running this place.
And
it's what the Attitude Era, that's what the Attitude Era did. When WCW was pushing its guys who were in their 40s, who were way past their prime, past their sell-by days, the WWF were pushing the younger talent, and they kept constantly saying, we're putting younger stars on TV. We're the product to watch because we're putting the younger stars out there.
And I know people don't like us comparing, but I think it's worth saying. WWE, for the last 15 years, rarely debuts people on screen under the age of 30.
Yeah.
And even in NXT, like a lot of those guys who feel like new talents, Keith Lee, Finn Balor, Adam Cole, they're 33, 35?
They're 12 years into their career, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, really, past 40, that's when you've got to start winding down and being a bit more of a careful worker. So to see such fresh talent be this accomplished, and this is where they're going to increase really dramatically in quality. So it's really exciting. It makes me really hopeful, really excited in quite a deep, hopeful way. But yeah, the signs. MJF has smaller hands than Trump was a good one. Yeah. And also, MJF has one friend on MySpace. MJF.
That is a wicked... I mean, MJF is too young to even been on MySpace, which is why I love that even more.
It's Tom.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's my sign of the year.
MJF tore that sign up. And then he's walking around. I think this was in the ad break. Just slaps a beer out of a fan's hand.
But the great thing about this is the fan marked out.
Yeah.
The fan marked out that MJF, and he eventually was just like, oh, you knocked my beer out of my hand. But it was also like, oh, MJF interacted with me. The guy dressed as Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
With Scooby-Doo versus MJF. Have you seen the video that got shared around? So after Dark aired, after Dark finished, and they did their tapings, and like, you know, a lot of the people have left, they were celebrating fans who were at ringside.
Mm.
And they brought out Brandon Cutler and QT Marshall, and they had a tag team match with Jesus and Scooby-Doo.
So the fans?
Yeah, so the guy dressed up as Jesus and the guy dressed up as Scooby-Doo had a tag team match with you know, the enhancement talents of Brandon of QT Marshall and Brandon Cutler. The Bucks were there. Dustin was there. They had John Roberts do the big old intro for he goes, Jesus, sorry. And the Bucks essentially just super kick Marshall and Cutler. They take bumps and they go down and pin them. Referee counts. They announce the winners of this tag team match, Jesus and Scooby-Doo.
You know what? That sounds like a live event I want to go to. Yeah. That's so much fun.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
It was really good.
Anyway, it's a very good match. MJF at one point shakes his balls, his testicles, in the direction of Brandy.
Yeah.
And what I loved was JR's reaction here. JR freaked out. It was like, shut up, you little jerk.
Yeah.
And it's that moral compass that JR brings that was such a big part of me understanding wrestling as a kid. And I don't feel like he's brought that back until now.
Yeah.
So I thought that really took me back. And Wardlow comes out, punches Jungle Boy with the diamond ring, double cross for the win.
Yeah, I do like the spot of Wardlow handing the diamond ring, really getting that diamond ring over as his weapon, so that MJF can punch Jungle Boy in the face and then hand the ring back to Wardlow.
Then we got the black and white pack promo ahead of the Iron Man match in 2 weeks' time, just saying that Omega's scared. I think Pac has to win that match.
Yeah, I think he's got to as well. I'm really looking forward to that match as well.
They run down the next couple of weeks. Next week, Tag Team Battle Royal. Lucha Bros versus Omega and Paige for the tag titles and the Steel Cage match.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Week after that, it's the 30-man Iron Man match. Then it's Revolution with Hager and Rhodes being confirmed for it.
So the tag teams in the Battle Royal are Santana and Ortiz, Strong Hearts, Hybrid 2, Private Party, Dark Order, Jurassic Express, Best Friends, Butcher and Blade, Young Bucks, and SCU. That's a packed old tag division.
Mm. And the main event was Santana versus Mox. An eye for an eye. Jericho and Sammy and Jake, they walk through the corridor and come into the box to watch from the top.
Yeah.
Crowd are singing Fozzy. Jericho's trying to suppress this smile. It's beautiful. Santana and Ortiz come down to the ring together. I love that Santana has the Puerto Rican flag over his eye for the eye patch.
I also love its opposite eyes.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's the opposite eye to Mox's.
Mox comes out for his match. I've written the depth perception is going to be a problem. Although it is actually a mental thing. For the first, 2 hours, it's really bad.
Yeah.
But then your brain kind of adjusts and it's not so bad.
I really like the commentary at the start here as well when they put over that, you know, this is two one-eyed wrestlers fighting, but Moxley's been wrestling with one eye now for 3+ weeks, so he's kind of used to it at this point. This is new for Santana, and he's got to try and work around that. And this was very much eye-focused stuff. It was really good. He had some interference from Ortiz on the outside. But the finish saw Moxley go up top and Ortiz spit alcohol into Moxley's good eye. So now Moxley is fully blind. But Moxley, prior to that, had already gone after Santana's other eye. So now they're both blind. And it's basically just trying to feel each other. And Moxley just sort of hits him on the shoulder. And it's like, there you are. Grabs him, paradigm shift. I need to end this quick because I can't see. And I'm ending it now and got the win.
I loved that.
Yeah.
It made it, I don't know, there's something quite visceral about the idea of being blind. You know, even temporary blindness. It's so scary.
Yeah.
So when they're both blind, I know it's all fake, right? But I know films are fake. I'm not sitting there in the middle of Dunkirk going, well, you know, it's not real. It's not a documentary. So I was so into this. I was so into the entire episode. 5 out of 5 show. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. I'm so... I tweeted out today, which is rare for me. A sincere tweet.
Yeah.
That the last month of wrestling TV on Raw, SmackDown... Sorry, not SmackDown... Raw, NXT, and AEW, and the Royal Rumble has been the best 4 weeks of wrestling I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, they've not got Omega versus Okada stuff, but just in terms of consistently great weekly programming, we're in a golden age right now.
Do you remember just it was, I would want to say it was this time last year, but there was a period during last year where it was like, oof, these shows are rough to watch.
May to July.
Yeah, really, really rough going. They were the times when I was looking forward to going on holiday, just so I didn't have to watch wrestling for 2 weeks and just get away from it for a little bit. I'm now at this point where I don't have any holidays booked this year, and I'm glad because I don't want to take any time away from this currently. Yeah.
It's great. And I hope everyone, give us a thumbs up if you love wrestling right now. How's that for a cheap plug? So let's get into your super chats from Tim Arndt. Kenny Hangman's name graphic said that Kenny hasn't had a drink in 13,268 days. That's 36 years. And Kenny is 36 years old. Kenny has been sober his whole life. Yes, I did the maths, I had to know.
Wow.
Did you see Paige's one? It said one day sober.
That's good.
Wallow TV, who is Dan, I just gave him a shout out. Dustin beats Sammy. Dustin gets Hager at Revolution. This can only mean he beats Hager too and then goes on to face Jericho for the AEW title. He then wins it and grants his brother a title shot.
Hey, man.
Well, you gave us 10 euros, so sure. Ryan B, bask in his glory, King Chopper Whopper. This was the best Dynamite they have ever done and probably the best women's match in AEW 5 out of 5 show. What did you give it?
I gave it a very high AEW sum.
So 4 out of 5?
Yeah.
Very close.
For me, I wanted that. I needed that great match. Like, what I needed was, like, if the tag match had been on the same level as the previous ones, then it would have been a complete 5 out of 5 show for me.
Nate drops surname, 5 out of 5 Dynamite, and the next few weeks are stacked.
I mean, I'm willing to say I think I'm out of step with this one.
I mean, you're very good. You couldn't get any more close to everyone else's rating.
But I'm still out of step.
Total blurred. Woman belt's way too small, needs to be bigger.
I like the AEW Women's Championship.
Yeah. Johnny 5, name graphic for Kenny and Paige was great. Number of days sober totals. Yeah, we've spoken about that. It was brilliant. Matthew Robinson, love the Nyla Rose and Rio match. Great way to get Rio hot again so she can have great matches, her best match in a while, a nice title shift.
I think it was the right time to take the title off, to be honest.
Everyone's really behind the change.
Yeah.
Hopefully Rio sticks around.
Yeah, you know.
Because she does have a tendency to just disappear for a while now. Rory the Right.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about this.
Will Kazarian grabbing the ropes on the stroke of the third count further the SCU title story, or is it time to move on?
Yeah, so Kazarian did get the bottom rope during the three count, but it was on the three, and they were putting over on commentary like he was just a fraction too late. So it would be interesting to see if that does get picked up.
I mean, the attention to detail they've had on AEW, I would say that was intentional, but given that Kaz run after MJF at the end of last week's episode, impro-wise, maybe he did just do it. Matthew Robinson, great introduction for the new star. Love how the Inner Circle is growing, if Cobb does stay with them. Also, still love the Omega and Hangman story. Yeah, it was subtle this week. It wasn't there, but, you know, this is a good way to elongate stories. We touched hands just then.
It's very nice.
Dustin Turner. Live show was great. The crowd was young. 20 to 30.
Wow.
Just sounds creepy when you say it. And the crowd was young.
Only if you read it out like that. He was giving us a fact.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, the crowd there were about 20 to 30.
Your turn.
You were like, yes. AEW related. Colostopia said, watched Mox versus Suzuki 4 times already. It's my match of the year so far. Suzuki forearms are a thing of beauty. Both look like children in a candy store.
I've seen the gifs. I haven't seen the whole match yet, but Suzuki doing Mox's thing.
Yeah. Pledgehammer Sawyer. Hey, man. Mean Pride. I'll be at the Atlanta episode of Dynamite next week. It's practically a pay-per-view card. I also saw Cobb versus Archer at the NJPW show a couple of weeks ago. Lovely time with the Big Hoss boys.
Big beef. Someone said to me, I hope you point out that when NXT put on loads of matches, all their hotshot in a takeover card, whereas when AEW do it, oh, what a great show. I see that criticism, but for whatever reason, I don't agree with it. I don't feel like this was hot-shotted.
Well, it's because Triple H isn't paying you, whereas Tony Khan is.
Tony Khan the money is.
No, 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 but on a more serious note, I do agree with you. I think it's the reason why the NXT criticism came about is because they would do, like, when they started the war, they were doing it every single week. And it was just like, what other takeover card can we do? Whereas these are pay-per-view cards that are being built to because they've got, you know, months between shows. So you have to build to particular shows and make those feel important to kind of bridge your gap between those pay-per-views, because you're not doing pay-per-views every month.
Yeah.
That's where I think the differences might lie. Noah Fortner said, who is your pick for the Exalted One?
I think it's pretty clear now, it's Matt Hardy. If it isn't, it's Christopher Daniels.
Yeah. Marcus94, rewatched the Ric Flair retirement last night. Weird to see a lot of the guys in the ring with him, like Jericho, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, and JR, now working for AEW.
What a great segment that is. But yeah, I mean, that's... you'll probably see Flair in AEW soon as well.
Jake C, Street Profits versus Private Party, who wins?
In the battle of the party gimmicks, Street Profits. Mm. If I was to choose one of the two, I think Montez Ford has the most charisma.
Future WWE champion Montez Ford, thank you very much. Kevin, Britt is getting better on the mic. Really liked her promo. Also, it's so weird seeing Brandy at the commentary desk being a babyface. Stop putting important storyline stuff on Dark.
Yep, I agree. People tell us to watch Dark, and I still don't.
Well, it's... You can have important storyline stuff on Dark, just recap it on Dynamite.
That's what Heat used to do.
That's exactly right. It's what Heat used to do. Pavi led Andy out of his cage. Dark Order Exalted One is Shane McMahon or Baron Corbin? Thoughts?
Oh my God, if it's McMahon. He says, I bought the... They do the simulcast with NXT.
There's not... The name says McMahon. Nate dropped surname. Forbidden door cracking open or slammed shut. If AEW signed him from Ring of Honor, would that hurt relations? Or is this a rental situation and good relations? You explained it earlier.
No idea. We don't know. But it sounds like they approached him on a freelance basis. So yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it doesn't create heat.
It's not really anything that Ring of Honor could have stopped, because he doesn't work for Ring of Honor.
Exclusively.
He's just doing dates with them. Yeah. Ivan Dominguez, hey guys, I've been to Raw and SmackDown shows in the past year, but I've never left satisfied as I did after the AEW show last night. Best night ever.
That's great to hear.
Yeah. Eric Murphy, the episode after Revolution will be in Denver, which is historically not a wrestling city. Do you think this is a smart move if live attendance will be low, might show in the TV taping?
I think one thing AEW's shown is that they can shoot stuff where it looks good. They're drawing a crowd. So let's see. Corpus Christi was a really good crowd recently. Yeah. So anything it's been turned on its head.
Small Afro Games. Riho is the only person the title looked good on. They need a bigger championship. The fact that the women's title is small in general screams sexism. I don't agree with that.
I don't know, because women are, on average, smaller than men.
I don't know if it screams, like, having it encrusted with diamonds, I think, is a bit lame.
Or if it was in the shape of a vagina. Although I would like a men's title that was just a cock and balls that you put there.
I like the AEW Women's Championship, because it looks different to other women's title belts, and I like that. Do you want to take the next?
Yeah, Petty Kruger. When you get this, I'll be standing in the rain working, basking the glory of this limitless era. P.S. Ollie should be dancing as King Chop's jester instead. What?
Come on now, Pavi.
No. Juan R. Quick thumbs up, party. Pavi let Andy out of his cage. Haven't been able to watch live. Here's some money.
Oh, thank you very much.
Pavi let out of his cage again. When WrestleTalk signed up Blonde PA. We haven't made that joke yet.
Well, no,
he's going to love it. He's not self-conscious about his hair at all. I instantly thought, oh no, WrestleTalk is like NXT signing all WrestleTalkers. Wrestlers.
All the indie wrestlers.
Yeah, well, we blew the budget.
Yeah.
Jay Devise, shouting emoji, dance, Chopper.
Someone shared the gif of you and Chopper in yesterday's video, and it is hilarious watching the pair of you try not to break.
We did quite a few things.
Chop said the same thing. He was like, yeah, we corpsed a lot.
I had to sit him down. I was like, I want to do this thing, but I am your boss, and I don't want it to be a scandal. So are you okay with me getting this close to your face? He was like, yeah. He was really keen, actually. Dean Maddox, Bad Ghost, please bring back original NXT review format. I'm sorry you miss it, but the fact of the matter is, there are certain shows, we do these shows, like me and Luke host this style of show, and the show has rated better since we changed it. We're trying one different thing a week on the NXT reviews. I personally like it. I don't think it's crazy to have cross-cutting. That's how most television and films work.
I was talking to my wife about this. I think it really comes from that you and I grew up on television and films. So I used to cross-cutting, but there's obviously the generation that's come after us have grown up watching YouTube, where it has just been this setup, where it's just one camera and people talking into that one camera. So as soon as you cut to something else, it's like, what is Kevin Dunn directing?
Yeah, and yeah, I'm glad everyone thought of the same joke. Michael Miguel, 8A, where is the Dance Chopper shirt? It's in the works. But also, AEW has really shown me why I love wrestling. I clearly have AEW bias.
I did see that comment in yesterday's prediction video, which was just like, they keep joking about the AEW bias, but it is there. It's on every Wednesday. It's on all their AEW reviews. It's like, because we like the show.
Yeah.
Bias.
Pavi let Andy out of his cage again. Okay, so each week, put the best moments of WWE versus the best moments in AEW. Who do you think wins? Also, Ollie Davis, can you be my Valentine's? Of course I will. I mean, with Raw and NXT together, I think, you know, overall WWE would probably win.
Yeah. But it's close. Shining through.
Matthew Robinson, glad to see you guys have not been able to watch a live AEW review in a while. Always love you guys' thoughts. I hope you have good plans for your partners on Valentine's Day, LOL. What are you doing?
So me and my wife take it in turns to arrange something, arrange a surprise for the other. And it's her year, so I don't know. Ooh. I don't know. I'm going to find out on Saturday. But we are going to the pub tomorrow night for drinks before the DJ arrives and it gets a bit too rowdy in there and we're going to go home.
I'm going to see Parasite.
Oh, how romantic.
How romantic.
I am jealous though, because it's not being shown at my local cinema, but you should all go and watch Sonic the Hedgehog instead, because that's a true Valentine's Day.
Pavi let Andy out of his cage again. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's very
Pavi.
Kind.
He's too close. Sorry it took so long, but you were looking at a new $25 Patreon backer.
Well.
Thank you very much, Wonder Ollie Pose.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to the club. We'll be giving you a shout out soon. Do you want to carry on with the last
I'll get these last minute ones in, Jobber JJ. My day gets better. Orange Cassidy versus Brian Alvarez is now on YouTube. Haven't felt so happy to watch wrestling since TNA in the mid-2000s.
Yeah.
Fandom. Fun match to watch. Ivan Dominguez, Jungle Boy versus MJF was the best match of the night. What a burger chance during Britt's promo was awesome. Freshly squeezed is great. Jesus and Scooby-Doo, amazing.
Sounds so much fun to have been there.
Yeah. Just a two-ball guy. I was there last night. We packed that place. I hope we get regular stop for them. I love the quarterly pay-per-views because we get mini pay-per-view shows like this.
Yeah.
And All Elite DK, I thought Jim will kick MJF's ass when he mocked Brandy.
Yeah, so that was JR. Yeah, he was so passionate about MJF there. Yeah.
And they drop surname, the big question, how does Cobb versus Moxley end? Clean or DQ? Who wins?
It's difficult. I think you beat Mox. I think you beat Mox through a lot of interference and Cobb just being a monster.
Yeah.
Mox won't really lose anything. But, you know, it is difficult. I don't really have the answer.
So go on then, tell me the story, because about lunchtime yesterday, I'd take my car in for its service and I then get a text message from Pete that said, Ollie's having buyer's remorse about his joggers. Make fun of him when you get into the office.
So I got my joggers yesterday. They arrived. Didn't end up buying them in a store because I was too hungover after our party on Friday, our welcome Adam Blombier to the team party. But I ordered them online. They came on Wednesday and I got them out the packet and I was like, oh, they're just joggers.
I did tell you that last week.
And I looked at them and I thought, these aren't that different from my other joggers at home that I just relax in.
Exactly, because they're not.
But I hadn't put them on yet. I thought, oh, well, maybe Luke was right. And I was voicing all these concerns in real time to Blomps and Chopper. And then I put them on and I was like, oh, they're comfy, but they don't look smart. And that was the whole point behind them, to have smart joggers.
Yeah.
I can't wear these in public. I would look like a chav.
Can I just say as well, because I know you always point to Simon as a sort of like beacon of fashion. I don't think he looks that smart in them either.
But there's a ballsiness.
There's a ballsiness to going to work in leisure wear.
Yeah, yeah. So I go to the gym immediately after, and I can train in them. That was helpful. And
like jogging bottoms?
Yeah, like jogging bottoms. It's almost like that's what they meant.
Before they got rebadged.
They're just bottoms otherwise.
Yeah.
These are squat bottoms now. And they have a huge mirror, as most gyms do, covering one side of the wall. And I'd catch my eye a few times. I mean, these look pretty good, actually.
These do look like jogging bottoms.
These do look quite smart. Beyond jogging bottoms. And then, do you know what my trainer said? He went, "Nice trousers, man." And I said, "They're jogging bottoms." He went, "God, they're smart."
He said, you absolute liar.
This is an outrageous lie. They look smart, man.
Outrageous
lies. They
look
smart. No. And I took them, I was very happy with them. They're so comfy. You were arguing with me just before we started recording saying that your jeans are comfy.
My jeans are comfy.
These are comfier.
I own one pair of jeans.
Oh, I know.
And they're so comfy. Like, I don't need anything else because I wear these during the day and then I get into my PJ bottoms when I get home.
What if I told you that the jeans could be even comfier?
But they don't, there's no extra comfort to be had here. These are comfy.
How do you know?
Because the pajamas
are more comfy than the jeans, right?
No, it's just they're comfier to relax in. But I'm not relaxing, am I? I'm at work. I'm working.
Hey, man, the distinction between work and home has dissolved since the advent of the smartphone. Why not bring that to the jeans as well?
Because I'd actually wear this at home. I would do. I would wear these around the house. In fact, I have done. And I do on weekends.
As soon as I get through the door, it's like I'm in the full Monty. I just strip myself naked and put on comfy things. I've got a pair of MeUndy sort of long ones.
Yeah, because you also bought into their rebadging of underwear and
hey man,
to make it more
that's
expensive.
That's micro fabric something. It's super soft. Anyway, it's a rip-roaring success. Laurie said they looked really nice. He might get a pair.
He's also bought into the rebadging.
Whatever. Have we got any emails on the subject? Of jogging
bottoms? No, because literally no one cares. No one could possibly care about jogging bottoms. I had one person tweet me saying, like, you know, you're almost at, because I buy, you know, my jeans are cheap. And they were like, well, you're just advocating slave labor in China. And I'm like, it's the same sweatshops. It's your joggers were made in the same sweatshop as my jeans. They're just then sent to different shops.
My sweatshop workers are free range. They're allowed, like, the minimum requirements. Whereas normal sweatshop workers, I believe, are just kept in a room. These kids are allowed to go outside. They're allowed to, like, I think they're given some food.
Yeah.
It isn't just the astronaut mush.
They've also got a whole array of replacement fingers for when they lose one, so therefore you don't actually lose any time.
Well, that's quite expensive. I'm not made of money, Luke. You get a new kid in that case. If it loses all its fingers, what happens in my sweatshop.
Use it to feed the other children.
At that
Lord of the Flies. Well, we had this email come in from Cody. You remember Cody? He's the one who sent us his Get Better About. We looked at his wedding photos.
Beautiful bride, beautiful man.
Indeed. Well, he said, "Hi, Luke, Ollie, and the rest of the crew. Recently wrote about my back pain and life update that you and Ollie read out in the Dynamite review. I attended Raw this week with a group of friends."
What a fun show to see.
"We were sitting on the hard cam side, 100 level by the entrance ramp. I brought a Support WrestleTalk sign to the show and was shown on TV a few times."
Ah, cheers, man.
The crowd was super hot for most of the night and gave multiple standing ovations. He also went to an NXT show the night before in Riverside, California, close to where Daniel Bryan is from. I sat fourth row from the ring on the floor and was able to see a stacked main card," and he goes through the card there, including that story that Angel Garza is working babyface on the NXT round, which is seen as like a farewell thing. You kind of drop all pretenses that you were previously a heel.
I love Garza. I love the thing he did with the proposal in the ring to his girlfriend.
Yeah.
How do you book him as a heel after that in NXT? He's definitely much better suited for it. And that was a lovely moment. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, he shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
That should have just been a private proposal.
Yep.
Was it on TV?
I think it was on TV.
Yeah, so just do it at a live event.
I mean, I don't watch. That's a show for Marks.
Yeah,
so I don't
Marks.
Have to watch
We're
it.
We're AW only.
Yeah.
Cut me and I bleed that rainbow pastel colour thing they have in the intro.
I was able to meet Keith Lee, Candice LeRae, and Tommaso Ciampa after the show since we were ringside. Keith Lee is amazingly nice and kind man and took the time to talk to my friend and I and took a picture with me. My friend also got a picture with Candice. I was able to chat with Ciampa about his neck injury and told him I'm glad he's back, and he gave me a fist bump. And I'll take pictures at the end. And he has done. So here we've got some photos.
Is it bad that...
So there's Cody with his support
wrestler. I saw this. He was tweeted to me.
Yes. And then there, you can see the two signs.
When you say featured on camera, that is a stretch, because that is far in the distance. But thank you.
Yep. And then there is at the NXT show.
Oh, that's a nice
And menu. With our boy Keith.
Nice. Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
You can hear that in the intro of this podcast. The intro that everyone loves.
Is it bad that I feel a bit sad Keith talked to someone else?
In what sense?
Just that he took the time to chat with Cody there. Of course, he took the time to chat with us. That's a tremendously special memory for me, when he had a drink with us,
yeah,
and we talked about Avengers.
And you made fun of me for it on our predictions video this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I now think he does that for everyone. And he's the Tom Hanks of wrestling.
Yeah.
Which is great, but I thought I was more special. I didn't know he did it with everyone. Mm. So it's just, you know, I love you, Keith.
I actually had a bit of professional jealousy when he interacted with the lads from that other podcast, who had a very, very fun parody of the Simple Minds classic, Don't You Forget About Me.
Mm. Yeah, but I did like it when he didn't know who they were.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Maybe he was just joshing there. But he doesn't seem like the sort of guy who would throw a jokey shade like that.
Do you remember when he did the intro for us at the Prince Charles Cinema for Beyond the Mat, wearing his Pikachu hat, standing in front of a poster for Final Fantasy VII?
I wanted to fly to America to hug him and then fly back. That's how lovely that was.
We also had quite a few emails. I said this on the Raw review of, what did we decide we were going to call it? It was like Dream Blue Collar, fantasy blue collar.
Didn't like the Dream Blue Collar, because that sounds like it's fetishizing blue collar jobs.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, stupid.
Are you saying that blue collar workers are stupid, Ollie Davis?
No!
Ollie Davis shoots on blue collar workers and calls them all idiots.
No,
and should be spending 80 quid on jogging bottoms.
You know that's what, well, they should be. They're really comfy. I'm saying blue-collar jobs are just as important as all the other jobs.
That's not what you said, though, was it?
Just dream jobs.
But it's more than just a dream job, isn't it? Because, like, this is my dream job.
Yeah.
But I also have those sort of flights of fancy of opening up a restaurant.
Sometimes I used to be a checkout supervisor assistant. Never the checkout supervisor. And sometimes I long for those days of very little responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When I used to stack shelves in my teenage years, and the worst time it got was when they'd be like, oh, we need you on tills. And I'm like, oh my God, that's too much responsibility.
Yeah.
It's too much now. I've got to scan everything.
Well, I would be on the tills all the time, and on the Sundays, Martin, who usually did all the trolleys, he would be off on Sundays because he had to go to church. I mean, I'll do the trolleys. And I just got to piss around with trolleys in the car park. And they're like, mate, no, you're not allowed to have more than, like, I think it was 7 trolleys.
Yeah. Ah, mate.
My
That's
whole
a chump game.
Sunday morning would be, I can get another trolley on there. But it's very... Have you ever seen them? We had
a
strap.
The lasso stuff.
The lasso thing that you put on the front trolley and you kind of guide them.
Yeah.
But by about 11:30 Sunday, car park gets pretty full.
Oh yeah.
It's dangerous to be like working that trolley train around a load of parked cars.
I actually forgot about Sunday working hours. Mm. Because a couple of weekends ago, me and my wife got up and we're like, we haven't got anything for breakfast, but I'll just walk down to our local Waitrose and I'll just go and get some stuff.
Good luck.
I walked down there at 9:15 and I was like, huh, the doors are closed. Why are the doors? Oh, of course. It's a Sunday. Sure, the store's not open until 10.
What's your feeling on Sunday trading hours? If nobody knows about this in other countries, in the UK, on Sundays, you can only trade for like 6 hours.
Yes, from 10 till 4.
Well, it doesn't... You can't. I think the rules have changed now where you can shift it slightly either way, but I think it's a maximum of 6 hours.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts in 2020?
Yeah, I mean, I have no thoughts on that, really.
See, my lady partner hates it, thinks it's ridiculous, thinks it's tied to religion. She's like, just make it like every other day of the week.
They've got to have some time off.
But you can just... people are going to be working anyway.
But yeah, but you're working per hour basis. So if you work a Sunday, you don't get as much money as if you work a Friday. But you choose to work that Sunday because you work less hours.
Well, you just standardize it. So there is no, like, day off that the nation recognizes anymore. It's just everything is a go all week.
I'll be honest, this is starting to sound like there was a politician recently who said, I think that we should probably put a ban on outside working hours. So, like, you work 9 till 5. Like, when you are finished your time working, you are then not enforced to work an extra 5 hours unpaid because you have your emails on your mobile phone. And the amount of flack she got from people being like, I'll work whenever I bloody well please. Like, she's trying to help you. She's trying, because you're working for like 9 hours. You're not working 18 hours, but the company somehow have made you think that's a good thing because they're only paying you for 5.
I'm sitting right here, Luke.
Yeah, but this job's different. Like, you and, like, we are a very small team doing this. I'm talking about like big multinational corporations.
I tend to fall on the more libertarian side of things, which is the government shouldn't tell me what to do. So I think if people want to work more hours on a Sunday, have at it. Go for it. Work any hour. I don't think there should be a rule against it.
No, my issue I take there, if it's your choice, then that's completely your choice, as long as you are paid for those hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, like, I'm talking about, so when I used to, a company I used to work for, the worst job I've ever had in my life, the interview they had was just like, look, it's not in your contract that you work outside of company hours. But it is encouraged, and if you don't,
we will be watching.
And if you don't, it is sort of seen as a bad thing, but we're not going to pay you any extra for it. Mm. And I just had to do that, so I ended up working 24 hours because the boss would just call me whenever he needed to ask me to do something.
That's outrageous.
But I was expected to do it, and so that is what this politician was targeting against, which is like having emails on your phone when you don't really need to do it. If your workday finishes at 5 and your pay ends at 5, you shouldn't then be working through till 9 o'clock doing other stuff at home. You should just be spending time with your family.
Totally agree. We've taken steps to make all work chat now on Discord, not on our WhatsApp group.
That's exactly
it. Because it's just like a nagging thing.
And because I don't have Discord installed on my phone, I miss 80% of the messages that get sent to me.
But at the same time, I don't think there should be a government law against that, because I think that's not pragmatic. I mean, how would you enforce that? It's ridiculous.
Well, it's cracking down on companies encouraging it and making.
So it's more of a culture change as opposed to a piece of legislation.
That's exactly it, yeah.
So I don't know how the government can make that happen.
There are ways.
there are ways.
That'd be like saying, you know, because our British journalism is probably the worst in the world, in terms of, I mean, they just make a load of stuff up and then sell it to people and pass it off as the truth.
That's what we do here at WrestleTalk.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but it's fine because we work within the worked world of wrestling. But this is like real world stuff. Like, so the British media just prints any old bollocks and says this is the truth, and people buy it, then read it and believe it, even though it's clearly made up lies. And there is legislation you could put in place that should not be allowed, but it just happened and the government just let it go on. Like, so that is something you could change in the same way that
people sue them.
But it never goes anywhere. Look at like Justice for the 96. Like, the Sun said, we're sorry. And that's it. That is like, you know, it's the South Park. We're sorry, sorry. But it doesn't mean anything.
News of the World closed. The big titans do get taken down. Very rare, though.
It's very, very rare. Considering the amount of nonsense that gets printed, it should be probably way more than it. Like Piers Morgan, you know, he hacked phones. He hacked celebrities' phones and veterans' phones and printed their stories without their consent and got rewarded by getting nothing but work ever since. Like, there's nothing else out of that. Mm. Should we do some emails?
Well, but to close it off, I think people should be allowed to, shops should be allowed to be open on Sundays. I was going to bat for you, man. Waitrose should be open at 8 a.m. like Co-op.
Anyway, Jacob Matthews writes here, said, hello, you lovely bunch of kindy Europeans and Andy. Andy is the only one of us who is partly, we're just British.
So we're kinder European. Is that what he's saying there? Not just we are kind.
Oh, yeah, kind Europeans and Andy. Let me tell you about my dream job that I'm currently in the process of making a reality. Starting to veer off into the...
That's not the brief.
That's not the brief, but we'll still read anyway. I've always said that if I'm single by the age of 25, I would join a wrestling school, and given that I'm planning on proposing this May after I graduate college, I decided to go with my other endeavour. It's really stupid, but I think it's the perfect amount of dumb to where it could sell. Several years ago, I worked at a Five Guys and learned how to make bomb hamburgers.
I was in charge of grilling.
Bomb hamburgers.
Yeah. I'm in charge of grilling at every family cookout now, and I love doing it. Well, several weeks ago, I was preparing some preparing some burgers, but realized I didn't have any hamburger buns. However, we had plenty of hot dog buns. So I decided to instead shape the meat into strips to fit into said buns. Mm. My family and I all had a good laugh when I told them about what I did, and since then we've been talking about turning this stupid gimmick into a food truck / small restaurant called Hamba Dogs.
You're making me hungry.
Right now, I'm in the process of finding a suitable truck and applying for the trademark, the name Hamba Dogs. Get on that quickly before he gets to it.
Hamba Dogs.
So don't get any ideas, Podswafters. Oh no, he's just warned us against it. Don't do it. I'm hoping to have the truck open and ready by next summer, so wish me luck in making it happen. Thank you for your consistent... thank you for everything, you consistent forkers. And Luke, try on your jeans before you buy them. I'm not over it yet. Obviously joking. Have a big one. That's from Jake.
Jogging. That's great news. That's a fantastic idea. I think that falls in the remit.
Yeah, I think it actually does, yeah.
Yeah, open up a food truck. It's nothing, it's because the thing we didn't want was people saying, I want to be PewDiePie, I want to be Brad Pitt,
yeah.
I want to be...
The very popular? Best.
Billie Eilish.
Or Billy Idol.
Or Lil Nas X.
Or Ty something?
Those are all the young people I know.
Yeah.
Ricochet.
Jack Kemp. Ricochet.
He's young.
He is. MJF.
Yeah. Jungle Boy. So nothing like that, but more like things you can actually go out and do. Mine's getting a digger.
Yeah.
Luke's is opening a little cafe. This
cafe
lovely,
90s.
This lovely sounding one is a food truck.
Yeah.
With a bit of innovation in the bun.
Indeed. I was actually watching the Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode where Charles Boyle opens up his food truck. But he gets the nano boil inside of him, like, starts shouting at Amy and Gina for helping him out.
There are some pictures of burger dogs. But they all seem to be recipes, nothing actually stuff that, like, an actual restaurant. Chili cheese hot dog burger, so that's going the other way. What's better, burger versus hot dog? It's a good YouTube video. What is better? Burger, right?
That's a burger, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you that's got like 4 billion views on YouTube as well.
That has. It was uploaded December 2017. It has 600,000 views.
Oh, actually, that's way less than I thought. Austin says, hey, Luke, I was interested in this segment, and although I'd emailed to give my idea, I've always thought it'd be cool to buy a large warehouse and turn it into a skate shop or skate park.
Nice.
That is also a music venue.
Oh.
It would mix my two passions together. There would be a stage overlooking the skate park and you could skateboard while live music is being played.
Yes.
P.S. To Ollie, there is a park in Philadelphia called Diggerland where you can just come and drive construction equipment like big diggers and just dig around. Maybe worth a trip if you're ever in the States. Thanks as always, Austin.
For adults, right? Because there's JCB Land, which is sort of, I believe it's called JCB. They're a firm that make diggers and stuff in the UK. And they've got a place, but it's for kids.
Oh, Diggerland USA. It says it is for adults.
Oh, my God. Maybe I'm not the only one who shares this dream then.
Yeah.
I just want to pick stuff up and put it back down again.
Right, do you want some more emails?
Yeah.
Because we had quite a few of these sort of dream job things.
I really like the skate park one. Get Darby Allin on the phone to endorse it.
It's a really good one.
I like stuff that merges two things because one of my other... I mean, I guess yours is 90s and cafe and all that.
90s and breakfast.
Yeah, me and my mates at uni had Big Dream because it was when Kevin Smith's podcast network was getting off the ground.
Yeah.
We wanted to have a comic book shop, which was also a cafe.
Nice.
So you could drink... cafe. You can drink some cafe and read some comic books. And so it's kind of like a library as well. But then there'll be a podcast theatre in the back.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Hello, mate.
Yeah.
I like it.
Still got that dream.
Also, to Flev, don't worry. He just emailed and say, just an FYI, Sonic the Hedgehog doesn't come out of my country until a week after. It's because we were talking about it. Well, I said we were talking about it. We said... that it's coming out this Friday because it was being plugged on Raw. So if you're going to talk about the film in the podcast, just keep in mind and don't mention any spoilers.
So we're not going to give any spoilers, but I will say I gave it a 4-star review on Letterboxd this morning. The embargo's now lifted.
I accidentally gave that review 2 weeks ago because I didn't know there was an embargo and Letterboxd was public.
We did know there was an embargo.
You're right.
But they didn't say when the date was. Mm. You asked them, like a responsible member of the film circle, when is the embargo? And they said, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't think you were in the wrong
there. Cheers, man.
This one comes in from Drew, who says, "Hi Luke, I'm 18 years old and have a job in childcare. My goal is to become a primary school teacher, but for the last couple of months, I've had a dream of opening up my own place called the PlayStation, where I'd have a bar with only PlayStations and all retro and legendary games with TVs, and I would host events for wrestling pay-per-views. Don't think I'll ever be able to do it, but I would go into business with my dad, which would be odd. I'll let you know if anything happens. Yours sincerely, Drew. Have a big one."
We need more, Drew. Why your dad? That's just too big a loose end there. If I do this idea, I will have to go into business with my dad. Why? Is it his bar? Is he the one who owns the PlayStation?
He is only 18, so maybe he doesn't have a PlayStation of his own.
So I like that idea. There's sort of a few things like that already. We've got four quarters near us, which is retro consoles and arcade games.
When we went to Four Quarters on Friday to welcome Adam Plumpy into the team, you all went down there to chat amongst yourselves, and I played Sonic Spinball on my own.
Yeah. And that sounds like we were all talking, and Luke felt left out, so he started playing the game. The opposite happened.
Oh, yeah.
You just sat down first in the booth. I went to get drinks. I come back. Everyone's talking. You are just playing Sonic.
Yeah, yeah. Playing Sonic Spinball on my own.
Just oblivious to social rules and courtesy.
That's pretty rad.
And we love you for it.
Thank you very much, man. We'll get this last email in from Darren, who says, "Dear Luke and Ollie and the rest of the WrestleTalk crew, it's been a while. I'm not sure if you remember this, but a long time ago, back in July 2018, where I believe it was just you two doing all of the wrestling content, I sent you in an agony art asking for terrible advice from non-qualified individuals. You lovely guys.
That's us.
It was about either leaving my girlfriend or moving to China."
Oh no, I think I said move to China.
I then followed it up with an email saying, "I've moved."
Well,
7 months on, I thought I'd give you another update and another thank you. As you're aware, there's an epidemic going on right now in China surrounding that pesky heel, the coronavirus. It's not as serious as it gets made out a lot of the time. Thanks, BBC Breakfast, or my local GP who texted me yesterday in all caps saying, "Don't come here." Anyway, it's not as serious as it gets made out. However, it is affecting a lot of families. I live in a province in Jilin. He's actually spelled that out phonetically for me.
Nice.
And I probably still said it wrong. and we are far from the original spread. However, people have become infected here too, unfortunately. In fact, the government has even provided us with an app that tells us the location, house addresses of the closest person who's caught the disease.
Oh my God, China's such an authoritarian state. Sounds like a good idea, but isn't it creepy they know that?
And they're telling people.
Yeah.
And in brackets, he's written, "Crazy, I know. The closest person to me is only 175 meters away."
Oh no.
"So you better believe I'm staying clean and sanitary. As for my school and public schools and bars, they're all closed down until at least March. You also have your temperature scanned as you buy groceries from stores now."
Wow.
"Long story, I know, but as I'm teaching from home, I am really bored and thought I would let you know how much I appreciate being able to listen to you guys and sit and do nothing at all. Brings a smile to my face and helps me through these times. It's also incredible to see Plumpy back." No idea who that is. "I attached a few photos that may interest if you have any questions. I'm sure to answer them. P.S. I now have a hot Asian girlfriend. Watch out, Carl." Actually, before I go, little extra story. My 15-year-old sister just created... My 15-year-old sister has just created Twitter. What I think is that she's now got a Twitter account.
I like the first
one. We'll go with that then. My 15-year-old sister just created Twitter. And she has two followers, her friend and John Cena.
Whoa.
Unbelievable. Darren McKenzie.
Yeah, so for all the other wrestling influencers who are like, "Oh, yeah, John Cena follows me." I'm not doing down your sister's achievement. She created Twitter. That's a 5-year out of date platform at best, past its sell by date.
There's the app that tells him that's the address there. That's only 173 meters from his house.
So 173 meters, and then the next person is 5.57 kilometers.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of death between those two points. Ooh, I
feel sorry for that one person. Mm. And then here's some photos of him. There he is with a pint of Guinness.
Oh, you look like my cousin Lawrence. Are you Lawrence? Oh, well, this is all very cool. I'm glad you moved. I'm glad it all worked out for you.
Yeah.
And we can take sole responsibility for that.
I'm pretty sure we can.
Nice, go us.
So, yeah. Good.
What a journey of an outro.
Yeah.
We cover. You got angry about the media.
I know. I'm so sorry. It's one of my triggers, it turns out.
It always comes back to it as well. We can be talking about. We can be talking about something else, and it becomes about Hillsborough.
Literally.
I don't know how it
Justice
happens.
For the 96 is all I'm asking. Anyway, but we're going to get out of here now because we've actually got to go record the podcast that you've just listened to. We're going to be back tomorrow morning, though, with the magazine review.
Yeah, we are.
There's no financials for Ollie Davis to masturbate to, so what do you think we're going to cover?
Well, this report on today's news, go and watch it, that Vince McMahon is really stepping back from the day-to-day running of WWE is, I think, very interesting, ties into the financial stuff. And the XFL looks optimistic.
Had a very successful weekend, yeah. Including Go Defenders. I don't think we're top, but we might be second.
We.
Hey, that's my team, man. I'm part of it. So yeah, we'll be back tomorrow talking all of that, as well as your mailbag questions. Take care, I love you, goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.